hot? Who's hot? Feels just fine to me. I feel just perfect.
Yeah. Oh, here we are. Happy July, everybody.
In July.
We should almost play that just because it's in July.
Begin a sentence with in July and I'll go down.
Show me a Orson Welles, everybody. Doing his recording. It is the Drew and Mike podcast live from the dealsinthed.com studios. So far, you've heard me. I'm Mark. You've heard Bentley. Brandon is here.
Hello.
Suspiciously quiet.
Yeah.
And no Drew.
What?
No Drew today.
Is it too hot for
And
him?
It's kind of a quasi best of because it's too hot for me, too. Yeah.
It's hot, too hot for everyone.
More of that in a little bit. First, I just need to tell you that the Mastastic offer of $2,500 for your trashy trade-in, regardless of the condition, will continue a little long. And Zotford and Holly Gabara sent the email and says, the current specials will run through next week and end Friday, July 6th. So you better hurry. There's a huge summer sales sign-in drive event. Ridiculously low prices. Only good for this week. Zero due sign-in drive event while supplies last. A new 18 Ford Fusion as low as $133 a month with zero cash due at signing. Best UVs are more your flavor. Lease a new 18 Ford Escape for as low as $155 a month. Also, zero cash due at signing. Come out, support the podcast, get a massage, meet Maz, and have a great cup of coffee. Or, if you want to avoid Tom, everybody knows what to do. Just show up on a Saturday. And the hottest sales staff in Oakland County will make you happily take that trade of your POS car and get you into the vehicle of your dreams.
Yeah, don't wait till the end of the week. It's while supplies last.
Exactly. Do it now. They extended it just a little bit. You can only get this from your friends at Zotford and dealsinthed.com. So, yeah, this morning, just getting ready to prep, getting ready for church, and a text came across from Drew that basically said,
see ya.
I am so sorry. I am so burnt this morning. I'm going to have to take today off.
Welcome to the club.
I must be old or something. I feel like the weather just beat me down. Probably all this travel. If you want to take today or just pop a best of, that's fine. And there's a big internal debate as to which one we wanted to do. And as I told you earlier,
he's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
As I told Bentley earlier, I was like, you know what? The heat is kind of beating me down, too.
Oh, it beat me down.
I know. You went golfing yesterday, which is utterly insane.
And I was dead. The last four holes, I had nothing left.
You were sweatier than
you
ever
been. Not a bad golfer.
My pants were wet. It looked like I pissed myself.
Gross.
And my hair, I sent a picture to you where I just looked a mess. And I looked the same today. I was out in the yard today doing stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what I did Friday. Friday, I spent seven straight hours doing yard work. Boring.
You sound like a goddamn pussy to me.
No, oh, you do it, Brandon.
Brandon, it was the worst. I thought I was hallucinating at one point. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah. I just had a bad headache.
But it was all done, so.
And our reciprocating saw is going to be down the tubes if this storm hits, because Reese wouldn't give the phone to Kate. I tried calling her.
That was really funny, Jim.
10 minutes ago, and I'm like, Reese, give the phone to Mom.
Or you're going to be in big trouble was the quote on the phone.
Yep, and I texted Kate, and I said, Reese is in fucking trouble. I think I said fucking trouble. I was pissed when I texted Kate. Because I know the storm's going to hit, and I just want to get this stuff inside. I left it out, but before I left it.
Well, then why is it their fault? You left it out.
I know, but I was exhausted. I told Kate, I said, hey, Kate, can you grab that stuff? Can you bring it in for me?
That's what families do.
Yeah.
They
help each other.
Yeah, help one another out.
No, but Reese doesn't. He doesn't know the meaning of family yet, asshole.
Well, I told you, if you guys ever want to see a fight, just come to my house when Charlotte has the hose because she thinks it's the funniest thing to spray me. And I think it is funny if you're not me who doesn't want to be sprayed at that time. It just ends up.
How old is this kid?
I know. Out of control. Speaking of lawn work and doing all kinds of growing and showing, are you a grower? Yeah, I'm talking about caregivers this time at the most hydro stores across the state. Scaling back or closing altogether, one store is growing and expanding, and that's Grow Green MI. And that's because Grow Green buys in bulk, and they pass the savings on to you, the grower.
Green, 16, set, hot.
Whether you're a large-scale commercial grower or hobbyist, the staff at Grow Green will give you the knowledge and the products to make your grow room products bigger, tastier, and more plentiful. With 75,000 square feet of space, Grow Green has what you need. And all the best prices in the state, period. Insane deals. Like, check it out. Bags of Ocean Forest for $10.
Period.
Gallon of Bud candy for 70.
Period.
And the world famous 1,000 watt Hortalux bulbs for only $65.
Period.
They also clean service rent and cell trimmers for all the top brands like Twister, Terminator, and Green Bros. Quit trimming by hand. Save time, save money, and keep your spot on the down low. Shop online, growgreenmi.com, where your order will be shipped free in a matter of hours in a totally discreet package. Grow Green MI, the world's largest hydro store on M36 in Whitmore Lake.
Brando's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What was that?
It took me a second to figure out what it was.
What is, I don't even know what that was.
Brando. Idiocracy.
Brando's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What plants crave. Brando's got what plants crave.
I have no idea what's going on in the news this weekend because I haven't paid any attention. And since today we were kind of, doing it a little different. The only story I know.
It's kind of nice to not worry about it.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. This has become the year of the narc. Yeah. Whether people want to make it racist or not, I don't care. But it's really just people narking out other people, calling the cops on other people, or calling, or just filming it and putting it online. But the new one is a boy is 12 years old mowing his lawn, like we all do, as we just heard. Doing a terrible job, by the way. I think the mower is way too big. And his neighbors called the cops on him because he allegedly accidentally mowed part of their yard.
Well, thank him then.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that can mess up the entire integrity of...
No, then when you mow, go mow the next day and just go over his spot.
Neighbors called the police because they say the kids mowed over their property line. They just met the boy early in the day and seen the children with their lawn equipment. This lady hired these kids to mow her lawn, which is a really nice neighborly thing to do. I have no idea the ethnicity of the neighbors. This kid's black. This lady hired black. None of this matters because it led to a great piece of audio.
Jesus.
She knows the cops are there. They show up, so she started rolling on Facebook Live and listen to this description here at the end.
I'm so angry right now. I am so angry right now.
Unmono me.
This is like totally ridiculous.
Either go inside or around the corner or something so that way you guys don't have to look at each other while I talk to you.
Why?
Because I don't want it to turn into anything. I'm trying to make it easy on everybody.
What is it?
It's up to you where we go. I just don't want to have you guys out here in the middle of each other's face.
It's ridiculous.
All right, Facebook Live, but like I said, this is totally ridiculous. Like, I'm so angry right now that these babies is going through this, getting the police called on them because they're cutting grass. Totally ridiculous.
Three.
It's ridiculous.
Three ridiculouses.
Probably less than a minute.
In 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that a great...
Ridiculous, for real.
She must be a listener.
For real, ridiculous.
She's a listener.
I don't know why. I saw that story. I was kind of, that's a bummer. And then when I heard that audio, I'm like, this is a home run. That's ridiculous. Is the best thing I've ever heard.
Like
that's
I said.
That's ridiculous.
Other than that, the only thing I can think of would be a World Cup, which we could bore everybody to death, Jim and I.
I could definitely think of two shootouts today. That's exciting.
What'd you think, Brandon? Brandon, who notoriously...
Boring.
No, he was a little excited. Soccer. He was asking questions.
It's too boring.
Was it really that boring?
Nobody cares.
I don't know. I mean, the first minute, there was two goals, and then they didn't score for 75 minutes.
But it was nonstop action. More than that.
Or 90, close to 90 probably.
More than that, because there was 30 minutes of extra time, and then it went into a shootout.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but this is boring.
It's like probably for 2 hours straight they didn't score.
I do have my limits, though. The feel-good story making its rounds is the deaf and blind man and how he gets to experience the World Cup. I think he's from Colombia.
That's right.
Have you seen
that
story?
Tell me, he's not there, is he?
No.
Okay.
You saw that story, Brandon?
Well, I saw the headline for it, and I remember seeing something a couple months ago where someone would kind of hold up maybe a piece of paper and basically guide the hand showing the finger showing where the ball is, and then if it goes in you get crazy, know? Goal.
The guy's deaf and blind.
Oh, he's deaf, that's right.
His buddy sits there and moves his hand around a little miniature soccer field to explain what's going on.
I'm blind.
How can you enjoy soccer?
Which is nice that he's that good of a friend to do that, but he is holding another man's hands for about 2 hours and moving
that,
around
like,
their laps.
Back and forth, back.
Game.
Football game.
They have their own little symbols. I love sports, but if I went deaf and blind, like I'm going to someday, I think I'm done.
Yeah, I don't want. Well, I don't want to.
I don't even want to hold my hands for
anything. I'm out.
I always loved the people of sports, but I've loved sports all of my life.
All right. A little bit of best of to fill this out, because this really is a best of episode, believe it or not, in case you haven't figured that out by now. But one of the first things up is the Sebastian Bach book.
Yes.
About 2 years ago.
18 in Life on Skid Row.
Yeah. This was actually when Trudy was back on that other radio station, and she was going to interview him, so she got the book, and we just started going through it. And oh my God, did we hit on something that I thought was really funny. Editing this, I was laughing. Could you hear how hard I was laughing, Brandon, because of things
I mean,
Trudy was saying?
And I can't wait to hear this. I never heard this originally.
Basically, if you ain't rocking, you're fucking. And if you're not fucking, you're rocking.
The Sebastian Bach book, though, came, and it has a the dust cover. Has a poster on the other side.
Of Sebastian Bach.
Sebastian Bach is
all-time sexiest.
He is one pretty man, isn't he?
He's like...
Look how pretty he is.
His hair is like real super long and blonde, and then he's got his tight gold pants on in this photo.
I have that same pair of pants.
I'm sure you do. I knew you had those.
They hang a little lower.
But I whipped it out and showed it to Joe, and he was like, oh, God. You know, like that just revulsion.
Why? Let me see for a sec.
It's pretty tooly.
Yeah, well,
it's totally tooly.
Being hit with that, not knowing what that is. You know,
when you open it up, it's like, it looks like there's a chick.
Yeah.
It does look like a chick.
It's like a pinup.
Yeah. He's a pretty man.
He is very
pretty. He's got lipstick on, too.
He lived in this area, though, for a while.
When he was a kid, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, when he was like 12 or 13 years old,
you guys left home.
You guys were taking a little gander at the book, though, before we started today. And what was the... There was a couple of gossipy things. There was a Christina Applegate
connection. I didn't know he dated Christina Applegate.
I would have never thought that. But then when we were talking about it, we remember that Christina Applegate is mentioned in two books for being at that River Phoenix death at Johnny Depp's bar.
Oh, that's right.
And in both books... Both the people who wrote the books were saying that Christina Applegate was running around screaming, River Phoenix is dead! I mean, she really sounded like a ditzy blonde.
You couldn't shut her up. She kept doing it over and over again.
Kind of. It was kind of like she wanted to be the one who everyone found out.
The town crier.
Yeah, it just sounded really lame, I thought.
She met up with him with her mom and her aunt in Paris. Weird. They flew to Paris to hang out with him.
With her mom?
And aunt, yeah.
The fuck?
It sounds like he really thought Christina Applegate was the one, it seems like the one that got away, but he was banging two other chicks in Toronto, so he couldn't
didn't
bang
have time.
Her. Yeah.
He couldn't slot her in.
He's banging two chicks in Toronto, so he didn't want to cheat on the two chicks in Toronto? Isn't he already cheating on the two chicks in Toronto by being with the other one in Toronto?
The next day, Christina and I spent sightseeing in Paris, went to the Eiffel Tower and took the elevator to the top. It was here where we talked about our fledgling relationship. Christina explained to me that she wanted to get married and get a place in middle America, Wisconsin or Iowa or thereabouts. She wanted us to have a farm, raise animals and stuff.
What?
And stuff. I don't think he had an editor for this.
No,
book. I already
didn't.
Found a grammatical
or
error.
Or maybe the editor wanted to speak in his voice, possibly.
Yeah. I don't think Christina Applegate thought that one through.
No.
He says, I did not want this. I was busy on the road. I had Maria and Paris back in Toronto. The more I hung out with Christina, the more guilty I started to feel. That night, Christina's mom and aunt organized a huge dinner in France at a beautiful restaurant. We had such a fun time. I sat there and had dinner and drinks with the three Applegate women, and felt very much a part of them that night. I could have settled down with Christina, but that would have required me to actually settle down. We went back to our Parisian suite. I remembered it was raining. We flipped on the TV. It was time to get it on.
Get it on.
Only there was your banging your roommate that was in the shower.
Only there was one problem. I couldn't do it. This is bullshit. Sex, to me, has often been largely subconscious act. If I know you are mine, I am yours, and I'm the most sexual person you could ever imagine to be around.
No, you're not.
I want it all the time, every day, many times a day. That is how I naturally
shut up.
But if I get an inkling that you are not mine or that I am not yours, I shut down.
If you want multiple boilovers every day.
No matter how hard I tried, I could not get Maria or Paris out of my head that night. It made for an extremely awkward night. I laid in bed listening to the rain on the rooftop above. I tried to talk myself into the situation for the good of the band, I told myself. Plus, I really did like her. I guess. Christina went back home.
The band if he nails Christina Applegate.
I think it was more phrase for him and her.
Oh.
The band being not necessarily Skid Row. Okay. That's how I took it. Christina went back home. I went back on the road. We drifted apart after that. My last contact I can remember with her was being extremely drunk in the lobby of the Riot House on Sunset Boulevard. It had been months since we've seen each other. I was drunk and vulgar to her on the phone. She was extremely disgusted by me and let me know this on the phone.
Oh, he cares so much about her and about his girls back in Toronto that he can't manage to sleep with her. But then he calls, he lays in a drunken, vulgar phone call to her, and that's okay.
This is how the phone call went. He writes, "How could you do this? What? Huh? What do you mean? Let's get together. Let's just party." He writes with a bunch of Y's on it.
Ass.
I slurred on the other end of the phone. "Well, thanks. I don't really think so." Click. And wow. He says he feels guilty about it to this day.
He does, as much as he loves himself in that that book. He doesn't admit to, you know, having bogus feelings and being kind of an asshole sometimes.
any you can care to remember, or you cared to remember?
He quit Kid Wicked, you know, his band in Toronto, and he left him high and dry so that he could go with the Bon Jovi factor that eventually got him into Skid Row, so he felt bad ditching.
Wait, how did Bon Jovi help create Skid Row? What do you do with Bon Jovi?
He was trading his tapes around all over, and Doc McGee got a hold of one, and so eventually Bon Jovi was like, "Yeah, I dig you guys. I'm going to put you in a band with some friends of mine." So,
Bon Jovi
was sort of the motivator for all of it.
Crazy,
but yeah, you know what? I didn't listen to a whole lot of Skid Row, but.
I never liked Skid Row. I don't know their music very well, though.
I don't either, but they were diligent. I mean, he was like, they practice constantly, so I don't know. Must have, what?
Well,
Mark has.
I'm trying to remember, was Skid Row,
song.
When grunge came along, was Skid Row just
off.
Left in the dust?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It was
big
over,
time.
Basically.
For all hair bands.
However.
Except Motley Crue.
When 2003, 2005 rolled along, wouldn't it be time for hair band nostalgia?
Well, he still toured. Yeah. He toured.
I mean, like Poison, for example. Poison draws like crazy. Why would Skid Row not have? Or are they just not that big?
They're not. They were not nearly as big as Poison, but they were big. They had their moment for a few years. You want to hear another fun story that involves Motley Crue?
Yeah, if I don't have to listen to any more Skid Row music.
Well, then never mind, man.
He's supposedly a fantastic singer, but I mean, I can't hear a lot of range there. But
oh, Trudy, come on!
Sorry.
If you sing another song, I'd like it. But
in 1989, we did not know any other way to live other than being drunk, high, pretty much all the time. The only thing we lived to do was rock and roll and fuck.
Yeah.
That's a sentence in a book.
Nice.
Rock and roll and fuck. That's all we do.
That's how we did. That's
rock, we fuck.
I'm not lying. The next line in the book is, "That's all we did."
We fuck, we rock. We rack, we fuck.
In every city around the globe, we went to Amsterdam, Holland. Before he got there, Doug Thaler, the Motley Crue manager, sent a detailed letter to our manager, Scott McGee, about what a rotten influence Skid Row was on Motley Crue.
If they're not rocking, they're fucking. If you're not fucking, they're rocking.
The irony is palpable.
That's more than rocking and fucking.
Motley Crue were the biggest band of the, was the baddest of the bad. And here was their manager sending our manager a letter telling us to stay away from the crew. It was understandable because they were sober for the first time. However, I did not understand it at all. Can you imagine Motley Crue sober?
No.
Not really.
No. We wanted
I'm just trying to imagine this crew's been hanging around Skid Row too much. It's only the crew.
If we're not fucking, we're rocking. If we're not rocking, we're fucking. I don't care if we're the crew or the band. All we do is rock and fuck. Just like Skid Row.
Sebastian Bogdan writes, "We wanted to party with them so bad. One night we were driving through the Swiss Alps, Austria, mountains."
Wait, they wanted to party with
Motley Crue. Motley Crue was huge to them. Like, you know, because Motley Crue was, what, 80?
It just sounds so juvenile to say, we wanted to party with them so bad.
We wanted to fuck with them. We wanted to rock and fuck with them. Mountains on either side of the bus reaching straight into the sky. God, he really knows how to paint a picture.
I know.
We were following Motley Crue's bus at a truck stop outside Vienna. Nikki and Tommy ran onto
what are they doing in there, rocking or fucking? I know it's one of the two. I think they're fucking. I see a lot of movement in there.
That smells like fucking.
You guys have been fucking in here, haven't you? I can see you're not rocking.
I don't smell rocking.
I don't hear any music.
God.
Who's fucking back there? At a truck stop outside.
We're going to do this interview now.
Nikki, yeah, you're going to ask him. You got to ask
my head.
You got to ask him about that exact line, Trudy.
Okay, I will.
Nikki and Tommy ran onto our bus. Hey, motherfuckers, what are you doing? That was their greeting.
Oh, yeah, class.
We were completely destroyed as usual. Rob Afuso, our drummer, made a lame attempt at humor. Hey, Motley Crue, can we get you guys something? Do you guys want some milk? How about some cookies? Because they're sober.
Whoa.
He was trying to be funny, but Nikki and Tommy were completely pissed. Their reputations are built on partying as much as music, after all. They turned around and...
Hey, we rock and we fuck. That's all we do. You fucking are drinking back here. I don't see anybody rocking or fucking.
The next day, we were told not to make any more milk and cookie jokes at the expense of Motley Crue.
They went to management and complained.
One day, Tommy came into our dressing room. I think it was in Finland. He had been to Amsterdam the day before and brought back the most outlandish porn we had ever seen. He showed us Bestiality magazines, fat porn, pee, stuff I didn't even know existed. I made a mental note to go check that shit out myself as soon as I could.
Oh, God.
Sebastian.
This book is gold, Trudy.
No, I can't wait to get a copy. I'm telling you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
This is big at
you.
Ballad.
This is big at our school dances.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to that range, Trudy.
Okay, all right, all right. You can hit it.
If you sing another song, I'd love it.
He went to Celebrity Fat Camp.
He
did.
What?
He apparently put on some weight there. He was really skinny most of us. Didn't you guys talk to him at one point,
was
though?
He on the, yeah. Oh, yeah. Was he on The Apprentice?
Yes, you... wait a second.
Or am I confusing him with Vince Neil?
Vince Neil is on the upcoming Apprentice.
He is.
Yeah.
And
I saw his face when they were showing Arnold with The Apprentice group, and I just saw Vince Neil's fat face in there somewhere.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah.
Trudy, I want more stories out of that Bach book.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's got some killer stuff.
Do you want stories about rocking or fucking?
Mostly fucking.
Why does he have pictures like that taken? He does that on purpose, doesn't he?
Oh,
pfft. See.
He's got
wood.
Tight coach's shorts on.
If I'm not fucking, I've got a boner.
He has the biggest show-off ever.
That's, you know, he included that picture on purpose.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Let me see how he looks in the, like, his face look normal?
Oh, yeah, that's just his,
I mean, there's nothing spectacular about the picture.
It's so, Tuesday.
Hey, put that picture in there, because I got a boner, you can tell.
I guess
no one else has a boner.
No, he has a lot of comments that are actually kind of funny, like.
No, he makes me laugh sometimes. I admit, I don't think he's all that bad a guy. He could be very funny.
Yeah,
but.
Like talking about people calling themselves rock stars who have absolutely no entitlement to being called rock stars.
Can I see the book? It's supposed to be a good story about a coke bender with Lars.
Oh! Sounds like podcast material to me. Except that nobody's rocking or fucking. What's up with that? He's doing lines while he's fucking. At least combine it with one or the other.
He's got a chapter called Bon Jovi Skid Row Tour 1989. Young, dumb, and full of cum. F-U-L-L-A-C-U-M.
Oh, God.
Oh, the term rock star has changed so very much from when I was a teenager, he writes. Now, guys with computer programs, hedge funds, managers, athletes, and even presidents are called rock stars. Well, it bugs me when a fucking dentist gets called a rock star. It bugs me when Kris Jenner calls Kim Kardashian a rock star.
Okay, I kind of agree.
And it bugs me when Kanye West calls himself a rock star. I like that.
I kind of respect what he's saying.
I was with him.
That's true.
Yeah.
The title of this chapter is Bunch of Booze, Mountains of Blowing, Quaaludes, and Tennis, My Time with Metallica.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find them.
If you're full of cum, you're not fucking enough.
Or rocking.
You need to fuck more. Cut the rocking and start doing some fucking.
That's his next book.
Yes.
I guess he knew Kirk when they were kids.
He knew... Kirk Hammett?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I never knew James was such a giant. They were on Kimmel last night.
From Metallica?
Yeah.
You mean as in tall?
Yeah, he's like 3 feet taller than anybody else in the band. Yeah, honestly, he's like a gigundous man.
I never realized he was that big. But
because I'll only see him on the stage and usually from a distance because the stages weren't great. But
I never know when you see somebody who's tall on a stage like that. Is it because everyone else is really short or are they really tall? Because there are a lot of short guys in entertainment.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
it's just it's just no doubt.
Oh, is it only 6'1"? He's 6'1". Oh.
See, there you go.
Yeah, 5'4". Oh, yeah, that's how the book starts. Getting hit in the face with a bottle.
Bottle incident.
Trying to kick that guy's ass.
Oh, he's pointing the guy out in the crowd.
And jumps on him.
So what's happening with the song while he leaps out in the crowd to kick that guy's ass? There's only one excuse for not rocking and fucking. That's when you're kicking somebody's ass.
Listen, the band just keeps playing.
Who did it better, though? Remember Axel?
Oh, Axel goes head first.
Yeah,
I got to go with Axel. He goes in feet first. This is the gayest jump. Not that being gay is bad. And he's kind of kicking as he lands, too. So somebody who had nothing to do with that was getting kicked by Sebastian Bach.
Well.
Hey, Lars. It's 26 years after the gig. Can I please? Oh, he wants a copy. I guess Lars taped Sebastian Bach doing a show. We started our day going down to the CN Tower and getting drunk. Lars was in tourist mode that day, and being European probably felt the Canadian vibe.
Huh?
Up at the top of the restaurant, we went to the bar, of course, for brunch, drank a bunch of booze, and then decided to leave. The restaurant was spinning, kind of revolving 360-degree views around the city of Toronto. I don't think we realized it was motorized. Any room would have been spinning in the state we were achieving.
Oh, boy.
We made it down to the bottom of the CN Tower and drunkenly bought trinkets at a gift shop. Let's see. Rolling into Gasworks patio, I somehow let my friends know we were going to be there. Rick and my buddies from Peterborough showed up. We all started drinking. Lars, at about 3 in the afternoon, whips out a bag of cocaine, dumped it right on the table. White businessmen and families were walking past. We started snorting lines in the middle of a beautiful sunny day on a quaint Canadian terrace.
What year is this? Did you say 89?
1990. Breathing the fresh, crisp air, and the pure cocaine was shoved up our faces. The owner of the establishment came up and said, "Sebastian!" He looked horrified. "Can't we just do this right here in the middle of the table?" Lars and all of us, fueled by booze, just turned and looked at him and laughed. Like this guy was going to throw out me and Lars Ulrich out of his rock and roll bar in 1990. Of course he wasn't, so we kept inhaling like Van Halen. He actually wrote kept inhaling like Van Halen.
When he was living in Toronto, he was going to try out for a band, and he was trying to come through the Windsor border into Detroit.
Oh, really? Sabo?
Sabo, and he's like pretty tall. He's like 6 foot, and he had his hair all, like hair banded up. Really roostered pretty high, and they wouldn't let him in. Like, no, you're not coming in here, the United States.
I don't blame him.
Sorry.
I'm not sure if I saw him.
I don't know.
I don't want him in my country either.
How could you choose somebody, though, just for how they look, though,
But was that really all there was to it? Was he buzzed up?
Yeah, he didn't say.
Hang with Lars?
But he was probably wearing, like, a leopard striped, leotard
Probably one of those tie-ups like he's wearing in that poster and right. Probably untied, pubes showing. Looking very womanly.
Yeah. So the U.S. Government would not let him in.
6 foot three.
Yeah.
He's tall.
Mm-hmm.
So here now they're back in San Francisco with Metallica. The day after the show, me and Lars decided to hook up with Steven Tyler at San Francisco's infamous Mitchell Brothers Theater.
That's where the porn action
exactly.
is.
Exactly. The place where they made that movie about. That's the line in the book.
The
place they made that
behind
movie
the green door. Behind the green door, right?
I know, but that's
their movie?
Why
doesn't he mention it?
I don't know. Why is that line in the book?
I can't remember. I was too busy rocking and fucking. I don't know any movie names.
Upon entry, we were handed laser pointers to highlight any nutty bits, as they say. We had some fun with that. After the strip club, me and Lars wanted to step up the fun meter a little more. We decided to go score some blow. Lars knew the place, but it was in the shady part of town. We went driving his car and ended up at some dude's house in the middle of a residential street. Got out of the car, went up the sidewalk, exited to score. We were drunk and we were loud. Went up the stairs onto the porch. Lars knocked on the door. Nobody came. "Dude, are you sure this is the right place?" I helpfully inquired. "Yes, Sebastian, I've been here before. I know this guy. He's got the bad shit. This is the fucking place." Knock, 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 knock. dude, where is this guy? This is bullshit. What the fuck's going on? I swear it's cool. Just chill out. This guy's got some blow. Some fucking good shit too, man. Chill out. Trust me. Knock, 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 knock. Bang! The blind behind the window of the front door on the porch shoots open, and there, standing in the doorway, right in front of us, is a long-haired man in a bathrobe with a shotgun pointed right at Lars' head.
Ooh.
Holy fuck, dude, what the fuck? Come on, it's me! Who is it? What the fuck's going on? The guy says, greeting us with a hand on the trigger.
Wait, it was actually the guy? Lars is right?
Yeah, so he's got. Oh, okay. He's like, who is it? What the fuck's going on? The guy says, greeting us with his hand on the trigger. Oh, Lars, right on, man. What's happening? He puts the gun down and lets us into the house.
Too cool.
Actually, he just lets Lars in. I go wait in the car.
The girl's going to have to stay in the car.
Lars returns excitedly with a bunch of coke. It's party time. Time to go back to Lars' house, talk a lot, and solve the world's problems before the sun comes up.
That's really weird, because is that what they do then?
Talk
all night long?
I guess. Oh, that would be exhausting.
Lars is cerebral.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Of course, they're pranking tunes. When we got to this house, we noticed something weird. Two guys running around in the street in front of his garage. Lars says, who the fuck is that? That's weird. Having never been there before, I just had a gun pulled on me, so I didn't think it was that weird. We pulled in the garage next to his other car. We noticed that the windows were down in the other vehicle. That's weird, he says. What I thought was really weird was that he had an elevator in his house. The hill was so steep getting from the garage up to the dwelling that we got into Lars' little elevator, and we were probably elevated to the top of the hill to Lars' house. We jumped into the living room, cracked open some brews, snorted some more lines. Let's get this fucking party started! Yeah!
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
He marveled at the artwork on the walls. I guess Sebastian's dad was an artist.
Oh, yeah, his dad was. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a picture of his mom and dad, though.
He writes,
his mom's boobs.
Oh, really?
Are like pendulums. I'm like, why would you be nude?
Wait, his mom is nude.
Yes.
In the book?
Yeah, there's a picture towards the beginning there of his mom and dad. They were like super hippies.
Oh, my God. You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, but.
Oh, brother.
Mark, they were pretty much hippies.
She's pretty.
Let me see.
I can't. Well, that wasn't her titties. That was just her. I assume that was her. Am I still?
I'll be the judge of the titties.
Oh, I know you will.
Well, keep looking because you don't know exactly where they were.
I'll be the judge of the titties.
You sure she's nude in here?
Yeah, there's a picture of his dad and mom. My God, yeah. He loved Ace Frehley, though. Of all the guys in Kiss.
Oh, really?
When he was like a little kid, he was 8 or 9 years old, he loved Ace.
I'll give him some credit for that.
Yeah. You know, Gene, Paul, the ones people most graduate.
Gene and Paul played on The Voice finale.
They did?
With one of the four finalists. They did.
Really?
They sounded pretty damn good. I was kind of impressed.
They'll do anything.
Kiss, I will say this for Kiss. When they perform, they perform.
I don't know.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They do their thing.
I'll have to find those titties later.
Yeah.
No, those titties cannot wait. Titties can't wait.
Do you want me to take over looking for the titties?
Is that her? Oh, is that his mom? That's him.
Oh, boy.
That's his baby. It's weird because, you know, man. For as much as he looks like he's just as dangerous as hell, he has a tiny little baby and he was 18 when he had this baby.
Oh, he's reproduced?
Yeah.
How much reproduction has he done?
I don't know. I'm not that far along, but
Sebastian's got 3.
He has 3.
Oh yeah.
Okay. How old? To say?
Don't say. Just 2 boys and a girl. Sebastiana is his daughter.
Oh my God.
Oh God. God. Stop. No.
Look at the other ones. Oh. Paris and London.
Oh, where they were conceived.
Paris, London, and Sebastiana.
His name's Sebastian Philip.
Bierk.
Oh, B-I-E-R-K. Oh, that's funny. The guys that were running around in his street and they thought the windows were down actually broke in and stole Lars's sweet stereo system out of his car.
Wow. Oh, no.
So they're in Lars's house and he's talking about the painting. He writes, I was blown away by the art and the blow. He sat up all night doing coke, drinking, listening to music, and talking a lot. Lars, too. Sebastian Bach and
Lars. How would you like to write
high on cocaine?
How would you like to be forced to listen to that entire conversation?
Oh, my
right
God.
Now?
The eye rolling would kill me.
Actually, if they were on the other side of glass and we could observe and comment on it, I might enjoy it.
You want an idea of what they talked about, Drew?
Yeah, sure.
Lars was bragging to me about the stereo he had in his car. Not the one we came home in, but the other one in the garage. She told me that this was the most insane car stereo ever invented by human beings. The amplifiers and speakers are the most powerful known to man, he declared. The small Danish enthusiast that he is. Suggested we get some beers, take the elevator down to the garage, and check out some merciful fate in the car. I was totally into the scene. We got off the elevator, stepped back into the garage, laughing, drinking, and having fun. Got into the car, shut the door. Lars puts in the CD and says, wait till you fucking hear this. He turns the stereo on. I look at the dashboard. It was all lit up. I braced myself for some heavy metal onslaught that was about to shatter my brain. You're not gonna believe this, Lars says in his Arnold Schwarzenegger high on crack accent. This is the most unbelievable new speaker in the world for heavy metal music. He turns it louder and louder and louder and louder, but nothing. No sound.
Oh, it was stolen?
He looks at me.
Stolen?
What the fuck, he says. Then turning around, Lars looks in the backseat of the car and notices the two backseat windows are not rolled down. They're actually smashed in.
Oh, fuck.
And where, once lived the most valuable, loudest, most important heavy metal speaker of all time, was now just a hole in the wall of his car with wires hanging down of it.
Aww. Oh, ouch.
Wow. Well, he's 220 minutes.
The nice thing is that Lars could the next day go back to whoever put it in and say, put another one in right now.
Well, he says we just looked at each other and laughed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When you have $220 million, yeah, those things are funny.
Sure.
We just kept on laughing, drinking beers, and saying, Jesus fucking Christ, can you believe this shit?
Wow. It's a hard knock life.
I love that he directly quotes these moments.
We stumbled out of the car, onto the elevator, back up the hill to do more blow, drink more, and play some more rock and roll. Okay, up next on Best Of is a call we made 2 years ago to the 93-year-old softball player. The guy's 93, plays in a league for 70 and up. Channel 4 had a story on where, like, we got to talk to this guy. And it's a really funny interview. And when I was editing it, I'm like, God, is this guy still alive? It's kind of...
I just like baseball when I was a kid.
Not that it matters, but it'd be nice if he didn't die last week or something.
Right.
So I Googled him. And not only was there this story from 2016, there was a story in a newspaper from 2015 when he was the 92-year-old softball player. And there was a story last year when he was the 94-year-old softball player.
So there wasn't one this year?
Not yet, but there's no obit, so I think we're okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, are they done in the same month?
B-U-N-T.
Like May of every year.
They were all done, and I believe sometime in the summer, obviously.
Okay, so hopefully we better check and make sure they're... Gonna follow up.
Yeah. George Londy, and guy, hell of a guy. Oh, listening back, he's really funny. Our friends at Zod M59 Dodge Ram are celebrating summer with one of the largest inventories on the hottest vehicles in Metro Detroit. How about almost 500 brand new Dodge Rams to choose from? Or if you can imagine, Zod Dodge Ram has 35 new Hellcats in stock and ready for immediate delivery. No one else can say that. Don't even try, because no one else can say it.
How about that?
Plus, they have new cars with scat packs lined up for miles. Now it's time to take advantage of Zot's giant selection by leasing a new 18 Ram quad cab 4x4 at just $169 a month.
How about that?
Yes, you can lead a loaded Ram quad cab for $169 a month. Hurry during our summer clearance event. Nearly 500 Rams to choose from. You are guaranteed to find the truck of your dream at Zot Dodge Ram in Highland.
How about that?
See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Additionally, whether you have $11 trillion or $3 and something in change saved up, it's important when you have a plan in place to save for retirement.
$7 trillion.
Some people may believe that it's never been worse.
$3 and something in change.
But the truth is, there's never been a bad time to reanalyze your current plan to achieve the retirement that you want. Call our buddy Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748 for a no-obligation review of your financial strategy. Was that real?
Yes.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Signator Investors, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor, 28411 Northwestern Highway in Southfield. Once again, call Luke Nowacki, 248-663-4748. Get your finances on track. He'll do all the hard work for you. Just give him your money. Who was
555-5555.
Whose toot was that?
That was me somehow.
Disgusting.
That was a tight one.
Could have at least blamed it on your dog. I like that you brought your dog today.
Yeah, Betty's here today.
I always,
This is a 30-second one?
That was Annie in church. She was really fussy, so I took her. That's when I texted you. I was texting Jim while at church.
Yeah, I didn't believe him.
I was in the baby, area. Time. She was fussy, and then she just went, and then went right to bed. I'm like, God, it's nice being a brat.
God, I go to church every goddamn Sunday.
All right, well, let's find out about the still living George Londy, the 93-year-old softball player on the Drew and Mike Show.
We were talking about the 94-year-old softball player. Who is, I don't know if he's MVP, but he certainly gets votes.
He's not MVP.
He was shown on Channel 4. You want to roll the story a little bit of the story?
This guy moves better than I do, though.
It's adorable to see this old guy out there playing softball. I actually like seeing old guys playing softball. They're all old guys. They just love baseball.
Baseball player here in Michigan could be breaking some records.
Instead, he is showing that age is just a number. Meet George Lundy of Fowlerville, Michigan.
No, it's not just a number.
And you might think he's just a seasoned veteran holding his own on the diamond, but Mr. Lundy turned 94 Saturday.
Feels like a 94-year-old girl.
He's also a star player of the over 70 league. He tells
us, "Boys,
can't believe
how
good his hitting and running skills are."
They're all amazed that I'm still playing, but I keep telling them, you're still going to be playing when you're 90.
Dial them up.
You may not run as fast. You may not hit the ball as far as you used to when you were 70.
He does. He catches the ball in one bounce.
His manager says he's so good at what he does, he would be among the top seven in a running match.
Really?
Top seven in a running match?
Huh?
What, on the team? Why is he playing catcher
top
then?
Top seven?
Yeah.
He would not be catching. I mean, if we were that
if he could move
athletic at 93, he'd be playing short.
Well,
or third or center field or something.
He's getting down on the ball.
Yeah, no, I agree. Catcher, you expect a 93-year-old. If my mom were catching, for example, the ball would go to the backstop every time. Every time.
It would take forever to go get it.
Yes, and it would take a while for her to bend over and pick it up, and then she'd chuck it, and it wouldn't go to the pitcher.
Oh, Mom.
I'd be yelling at her, Mom!
Get on the ball, Mom!
She's actually, she used to have a real bad attitude about her dementia, but lately I've been saying, for the 10,000th time, Mom.
Oh, I'm sure that helps.
She laughs.
Yeah.
Then it's my way of telling her that, Mom, I've answered that quite a few times since I got here.
Aw.
Nice phone is not even ringing.
What? Londy? Come on, Lonz.
George, we just gave you this big run-up.
It's probably off the hook.
Who's on the phone?
Family's probably trying to get a hold of him for years.
Won't ring?
No, it's not ringing. It's not doing anything.
Uh-oh. Londy didn't pay his bill.
He spaced out and left it off the hook when he was talking to Channel 4 when he called them.
Yeah, no
to
one's
find out, when's that thing air? For the eighth time he calls him. And then he just left the phone off the hook, even though he called them.
And they say, for the 10,000th time, Londy. Or no, wait, what do you say?
It already aired, all right?
What do you say? I've answered that a couple times since I've been here.
Can I get a copy of that? No!
We're done with you. The piece is aired.
Either that or they went, yeah, what's your address? And they, got out the fake pen and wrote down the fake. Yeah, right. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, what's that zip again? Yeah. Okay. Sure. We'll send it to you right away.
I know. I actually feel bad. I feel like I owe a few thousand people air checks.
Me too. I think I owe more than you do.
Can I get a copy of that? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's not malicious. I don't mean not to send it. It's just,
just a lot of hassle.
Once the show's done, it's on to the next one.
Yeah, it's to the moon. Think of it as being to the moon.
You should have rolled tape on it.
So George is going to, like those real ego-driven people.
Exactly.
Who love the sound of their own voice. You should have that same kind of ego.
If we ever
your
get
own tape.
If we ever get a hold of Londy, let's tell him that right off the bat. Oh, man,
demand a tape for it. That's the coolest appearance I've ever seen on Channel 4. George's going to call in a month. Yeah, I didn't get my tape. We sent it. Look, if your mailman lost it, it's not our fault.
File a complaint with your post office, click. Next thing you know, Londy's in line for hours. They said to file a complaint with you.
Still won't ring?
Yeah, nothing.
Is Londy going to understand?
Nice phone, Londy.
He'll understand podcasts, won't he?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding?
You don't think so?
No way. I bet. Come on, old man Londy. I'm getting pissed. Mm-hmm. I enjoy playing, said George. I don't play as well as I used to when I was 60, but I enjoy playing. He acts like he peaked at 60. The 94-year-old is back this year, taking the diamond with his teammates in Lansing Parks and Rec's Senior Softball League. Made up of four teams of 70-year-old and up. League is busy. They're all amazed I'm still playing, said Londy of his teammates. Does it ring?
It's ringing.
It's ringing?
Oh, well, you didn't pay your phone bill. Your speakerphone doesn't work.
Hey, is this George? Hey, George, we're trying to call you from our broadcast to do an interview about your softball skills, but we couldn't seem to get the phone to ring from the other phone. Was it off the hook there for a while? Wow.
Maybe we should try it.
We'll try him again.
Yeah, we're going to try
More time from another phone, George, but we'll call in the next couple minutes, if that's okay. Okay, thank you so much, sir. We saw you on Channel 4.
All right.
See you.
Don't go to bed.
It's going through now.
Okay. Oh, it's going through now.
It
needed my phone to break the ice.
To barrel through it. Like you're going to barrel through Lundy blocking home plate.
Isn't that ridiculous?
It's on the phone.
It does seem like my phone broke the ice.
It was so operator error on Timko's part. Busted.
Hello.
George.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Drew and Mark. We're calling you from, we do a podcast here in Ferndale.
Yeah.
And we saw you on Channel 4 and we were hoping we could talk to you for a minute on our little broadcast.
Okay.
How are you enjoying playing this year?
I enjoy it a lot. Otherwise, I wouldn't be playing.
Now, are you sore the next day?
Not really.
No? Do you run the base as much? I mean, do you get on base, or is it one of these things where you really don't even run that much? You just walk out catch
it? I bat, and I play the field, and whatever.
Do you get on base?
Yes, sometimes.
All right.
Do you clog up the base paths, or are you a pretty good base runner?
Well, I was on a track team in high school, so I can run fairly well.
Nice.
Of course, at 94, I've slowed down a little bit.
Sure.
Okay, compared you and your league on base to Victor Martinez on the Tigers.
Take Lundy.
Who would be more of a trouble to get around the bases, you or Victor?
I don't know.
Victor really clogs up the base. Do you watch the Tigers?
Once in a while.
Well, Victor and Miguel Cabrera, when those two are on base, it takes a lot of hits to get those guys around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you could score from first on a double?
Probably.
Really? Well, you must run pretty well.
Can you stretch singles into doubles? Have you done that?
No. Not really.
No, okay.
What is your batting average?
I don't hit them that far anymore. Oh. Yeah. I try to tell people, they wonder why I'm still playing, and I said, when I was 70, I could hit it over the left fielder's head.
Wow.
But now that I'm 94, I'm lucky to get it over the third baseman's head now.
Ooh. Now, was 70 your peak?
Not really. I mean, I've been playing ball ever since I was a young kid.
What'd you play, when you were in high school, what position did you play?
I never played baseball in high school.
Really? So you found softball later in life, and you really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
That's unusual. Most people play when they're a kid, you know, and then they always play.
Did you have to learn how to swing a bat? I mean, that's a kind of a tough skill if you never did it.
Well, listen, when I was a kid, there wasn't a heck of a lot more to do.
But you didn't play baseball, so what did you do?
Oh, yeah. We played baseball. I mean, softball.
Oh, softball. Okay.
You
didn't play hardball in high school, so to speak.
I got you.
No, I never played baseball in high school.
One of those guys.
Now, you ran track. Did you play any other organized sports in high school?
Nope.
No?
I was too small to play football.
Yeah?
And soccer's for, you know, those people across the pond?
Yeah, soccer's not my game.
Yeah.
Did you play hoops?
No.
Basketball, no?
Nope.
Okay. But I'm surprised you don't watch the Tigers more, considering how much you like softball. Given up on the Tigers.
It gets a little frustrating to watch those guys play.
Amen.
Yeah, I know. I get real irritated with them, too. I should just turn them off like you do, apparently.
I mean, they complain about the manager, but it's the general manager that gets the pitching on that team. So he's the one they ought to start jumping all over.
Yeah, that pitching has been horse bleep. It really has.
Yeah.
London, how many teams are in your league?
Four.
And are you guys in first place?
No. Ooh. We only had three teams up until last year. And, of course, with only three teams, one team did not play every week, so one of the managers decided he was going to form a fourth team, which is a team. So he called me, and he wanted me to play with him, and I says, fine.
Wow.
And, of course, try to get a bunch of 70-year-old guys. It's hard to get a bunch of 70-year-old guys to play ball. So we've got maybe two or three or four guys on their team that I don't think ever played ball before.
What?
Whoa.
They're picking up softball at the age of 75 or 80?
Yeah, they're just a 70 and over league.
Oh, my God. Can't you get some fake IDs or something?
Drew wants one so he can dominate the league.
Yes, I do. Are there? Do people ever get fake birth certificates to get in the league?
Has there ever been a scandal?
I mean, some find out some 55-year-old just dominating. Kind of like that 14-year-old in Little League years ago.
Danny Almonte?
No, apparently not.
What's that?
Nothing. Now, most sports teams, they'll sit around and they'll talk about, like, ladies, you know, the ladies. And do you guys sit around and talk about that? Or what do you guys talk about to get camaraderie? Like, what kind of medications you guys are on?
The dugout chatter.
No, not really. I mean, we just have a good time playing.
But you got to talk about
it. As I say, I mean, the team we got together this year, we haven't won a game yet.
Oh.
Because we've got guys on that team that have never played ball before.
Well, somebody needs to give them a kick in the butt.
Yeah, I know. No, they're all a nice bunch of guys.
Yeah, well, being nice guys finish last, George. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
Londy, I know you're a catcher. Are you allowed to block the plate?
Who's a catcher?
Aren't you the catcher?
I play second base.
Wait, the Channel 4 story had you behind the plate catching.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they showed. The pitcher was pitching.
Was that not you?
Well, I have caught, too.
Just filled another old guy.
It depends on how many people we got out there.
Well, if George is playing second base, that means you're pretty damn one of the better fielders on the team.
Yeah.
When I first started with this league, I used to play third base.
Really?
But as I got older,
Drew, take him out on a double play.
My arm was shot, and I couldn't get the ball from third to first anymore, so they moved me over to second base.
Oh, yeah, second base can be the position for the weaker-armed infielder.
Yeah.
That's yep.
Common.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
Can you turn the double play, George?
Here we go. No, not too much.
No.
Do guys ever take you out, come up with their spikes high?
With what?
Do you ever come into you at second base with their spikes high when you're trying to turn the double play?
Yeah. No, not really. No, I don't think anybody slides. Come on.
That's why
of course
even,
they don't slide.
Enter my head.
What 75-year-old guy would slide? But George, there's always somebody who's a little too
over
competitive.
The top, yeah.
Even it seems like, even in the over 70 league, isn't there the one guy that means that where winning means a little too much?
It's Londy.
Oh, yeah. We've got some guys on one of the other teams that are that way. They've got to win, it seems like, every week. But I don't know. Whether we win or lose, of course I want to win. But if we lose, we will lose.
Londy,
what's the big deal?
You're getting soft at your age.
but there are still – it's nice to know that there's still hotheads that play even when you're in an over 70 league, because it kind of makes it mean a little more when somebody gets that upset. They get mad at an umpire's call, or they're mad at the manager for not playing the right position. But you still have that phenomenon of the hotheads.
Not really.
No,
I mean, most of the guys are easygoing. And there's a couple of guys on one of the other teams that, as I say, they've got to win every week. And if they don't, they get upset about it. But that's only a couple of them. I mean, the rest of us are out to have a good time.
George needs a few hotheads on his team.
Yeah.
So you need a few guys to burn to win. Come on. So now what do you do? How do you celebrate a good if you guys were to go out and win a big game next week, for example, would you celebrate afterwards? Would you go to, I don't know, Bill Knapp's?
No, we all get in the car and go home.
Ooh. Go home.
Usually at the end of the year, the bunch of us on the one team will get together and go somewhere for a pizza or a hamburger or whatever.
Okay.
Boob bar.
That's about it.
Nobody ever takes you to a strip club or...
No. I'm too old for that.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, you're never too old for that.
Yeah, you're never too old to look.
You're not too old for the ladies.
Apparently.
Or guys.
Maybe the over 70 league. Maybe that's when they stop going to the...
Maybe that's not what he's into.
How old is this kid?
Well, Georgia, it was fun watching that piece on Channel 4. Now, did you get to see it on... Did you see yourself on TV?
No, I didn't.
What?
I haven't seen any of those.
Or did you ask him for a copy of it? I'm sure they'll send it to you.
Fine.
I mean, did you ask him for a videotape of it?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen any of it yet.
You got to see that. When did that air, Mark?
It seems like everybody else has seen it except me.
Yeah, it just aired today. I'm sure it's on their website,
Mark.
Did
you go on the computer?
That's one thing. I mean, my wife and
of course,
I.
Everyone does.
Wife. We don't have a computer. We don't have a cell phone.
Really?
We didn't have an answering machine up until about a year ago. And I really didn't want that.
You didn't want it. I love that.
That's great.
We feel like if we want something, we'll buy it. I wanted a Lincoln, so I bought a Lincoln.
Nice.
Okay? It isn't like that we're broke, that we can't afford these things.
Yeah.
It's just that whatever we want, we get. And if we don't want it, we don't get it.
Hey, George.
It bothers me to go out to dinner with my wife and somebody's on a phone talking to somebody.
Amen.
I agree
and
with
I
you.
Said, if I had, my daughter wanted to buy us a cell phone, and I says, I really don't want it. She says, how do I get a hold of you when you go on vacation? And you know what I told her?
You don't
need to get a hold of us when we go on vacation.
That's why we're on vacation, you dope.
That's right.
Now, George, so, do you have any grandkids that are on their phones all the time when you're talking to them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Don't you want to just smack them?
Well, I don't know what they're doing. They're playing with their phones, whatever they're doing on there.
Yeah, you don't even know.
What are these, smartphones?
Yes, you know what they're doing. They're messaging other friends of theirs is what they're doing.
Because they don't want to
touch
their
phone.
But they should be giving you 100% of their attention, and they're not. And they do it to me all the time. I want to smack them. It makes me so mad.
Yeah. Who's on the phone?
It's just rude. So don't succumb to that pressure to get a cell phone. You don't need one.
Oh, no. If as I say, if we wanted one, we'd have it, but...
Your cell phone blows.
Well, we get along fine. My wife and I have been married for 73 years.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, 73 years.
Why'd you get married so young? 21?
That probably wasn't...
No, I was 20, she was 18.
Whoa.
Hey, how about that? Well, George...
I was in the service, and I came home from California... And I said, I want you to go back to California with me. And, of course, back in 1943 when we got married, the only way she was going back to California with me was as a wife.
Well,
there was no way she was going to go out there and live with me.
No, she wouldn't check up with you?
Things didn't work that way back then.
Well, you had to buy the cow if you wanted the milk? That kind of thing?
That's right.
I like that. Well, it worked out.
Yeah,
she went out to California with me, and she was out there with me for 5 months before I got shipped overseas.
Oh, boy.
And you're still with her today, right?
Yep.
Is that why you play softball, to get out of the house?
No, she comes along with me.
Oh, boy. You ever wish she didn't?
What a ball and chain. You can't go anywhere.
Well, no. I want her with me. She probably figures if I break a leg, she'll be able to have to drive me home.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's nice. If you want your girl with you at the ballpark, she must be something special.
Oh, yeah, she is.
That's great.
I don't whore around on my wife.
Well, it was fun watching you play ball, even though you didn't get to see it. I hope maybe somebody will show it to you.
Well, if they do, maybe one of my kids might have had it. I'm not sure.
Hey, George,
call Devin Skilling over there. I'm sure he'd get a copy of it for you.
Tweet him.
Or Karen, any of the people doing the broadcast, they'd love to help you. I'm sure. If not, we'll help you out, George.
Okay, good.
Okay,
George knows this bullshit. We're not helping him.
Hey, it's great talking to you.
You rule,
well,
George.
Nice talking to you.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Glad to see you're enjoying baseball. Bye bye.
Bye.
All right.
Oh, he's great.
Bye bye.
What a ball player.
He's cool.
He's an old timer, huh? Just look at him. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, just look at him.
Two down, two to go. Our last two bits. One, we find out a little bit about Tom Mazoway when he was casino dealer Tom Mazoway, which I find hard to believe that he ever was a dealer in the casinos.
Yeah, that.
But it won't surprise you what kind of dealer he was. And then after Tom is a phone call to a guy named Phelan Moonsong, which lovely name.
Anybody? Yeah.
You having a kid out there, Phelan, go-to name.
That's a great name.
Never
Moonsong, last name or middle name?
It's his last name. Phelan Moonsong is a guy that had horns. Because he would
take his pants off and moon everybody.
That's how he got the name. He'd wear horns, and he wore them in his driver's license photo, and it was a big battle, but we learned all about his religion.
Wait, they're not implant horns?
They were not implant horns.
Really?
No, it's ludicrous. Yeah. So we find out a lot about Phelan. One of the things I wanted to know, too, was how does he drive a car with those horns? Because he has to take them off at some point.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, he's kind of obsessed, too.
Why? Because his head's going to hit this.
Yeah.
The roof?
He says it doesn't. And then I was trying to find a reason he would have to wear a helmet, and I could not find one.
Rollerblading?
He had an answer for everything.
Cycling?
Would not wear one.
Really?
Not while cycling.
I knew you would have asked that.
Or you could just have a moonroof in a car. That would a Phelan song
moonroof.
Well,
then you'd have to... Well, it's got to be the whole one. go all the way over.
Hey, perfect segue to the Lincoln MKZ. You can get a Lincoln MKZ with a full panoramic moonroof.
Sweet.
At Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln in Southfield. That was not planned.
Did you say Abe Lincoln?
Star Lincoln in Southfield is Southeast Michigan's premier Lincoln dealership. Owner Jim McInerney and Ryan McInerney, Hoot's son and grandson, they've been daily listeners of the podcast since we came on. And we welcome him and Star Lincoln.
Hi, Jim. Thank you.
They've been big supporters.
They've heard all these bits already, so.
They absolutely have.
And they laughed at it.
They're still listening right now, believe it or not. So is Jimmy D, our personal dealer, who's going to help you get into a Lincoln. Give him a call at 855-567-STAR. It's 855-567-STAR. He'll tell you all about the Lincoln MKZ, and it's 14-speaker Revel audio sound system. Check out the Navigator. It's the 2018 North American Truck of the Year. They also have the Crossover, the MKX. They have a Lincoln Continental. It's just a gorgeous car, and you can get into them for a lot less than I think you can. All you got to do, once again, to get in a 2018 Lincoln, call the personal sales rep, Jimmy D, 855-567-STAR. And if you have one of those Lincolns, they will come and pick up your car and give you a loaner if you ever need anything done on it, like an oil change. Free loaner until they're done. It's pretty easy deal from Star Lincoln. Jimmy D is going to give you the guaranteed lowest price that they're going to allow. So drive the Star. Call them once again, 855-567-STAR.
Six callers ahead of us, Jimmy.
Enjoy these two bits. Drew will be back tomorrow. And then we'll figure out the rest of July 4th weekend. We like to go by the seat of our pants. It's pretty simple.
Thank you for your time.
But this does officially count for a day for Jim.
Oh, that sucks. Tom can't do Tuesday. Maybe I can.
Or you can become a casino dealer.
No, I'd be a bad one.
There was an interesting story today about the new stadium project.
Yeah.
About the fines.
Yeah, Tom and I were talking about that. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of insane.
A lot of cash, man.
They're actually being acknowledged as doing everything they should be doing to find Detroiters to fit the percentages they're supposed to be fit as far as hiring contractors and also individual workers. Mm-hmm. And it's acknowledged that the city does not have enough skilled workers to fill the percentage.
Wow.
Yet they're still being fined $500,000.
Wow, that's a ton.
Well, didn't we all see that coming? We've talked about that before.
It happens at the casino. It's one of the reasons the casino has such shit service. According to one person I talked to at Greektown Casino, they told me, because I said, why is the service so bad when you want a drink? And this is true at the other casinos, too. It takes forever to get a drink, and they charge you for drinks. They're not free. It's not like Las Vegas.
No.
Nope.
Hey, I was an MGM worker at one point.
Oh, you dealt. That's right.
I did, right before the 105-1. Was born.
So you got a good thing. You got a good mind for numbers, I guess.
I was pretty good. But
well, did you give away money you weren't supposed to give away?
A couple of times, probably. Yeah, I was on camera a couple of times. You know, accidentally overpaying or underpaid.
What happens?
They tell you about it, and that one, if you keep doing it, they'll suspend you, and then put you back on. If you keep doing it, you're going to be suspended permanently.
Yeah.
Did you like being a dealer? Did you like going?
Look, I really...
Like Tom likes rules.
I really enjoyed the dealing the cards and having fun with the people, but I swear to you, man...
What about when you just murdered somebody and just won $1 million for the house?
It kills me. It kills me to see these people. And I saw the
same
people.
Did people yell at
people.
You?
Oh, yeah.
What was the worst line, most pissed somebody got?
I was defending somebody on the table, and I was told it's none of my business to defend the woman who was getting abused by her boyfriend.
Boyfriend, yeah.
He was betting $500 a hand. And he was giving her, you wouldn't believe the crap that she was taking from this guy.
Wait.
Just a verbal abuse.
Why was she taking crap? He's the one betting all the money, right?
Yeah, but he was mad at her for doing this or doing this.
What'd she do?
He was drunk.
She was playing too.
Yeah,
right?
She was playing on one end, and he was feeding her money. And he was yapping at her for losing or telling her to take a hit and all of this. And he threw every word at the book at her. And I'm like, sir, there's no need for that kind of talk at the table.
Did you think you're going to be able to fix him?
I was just going to tell him that don't fly on my table. Well, they
so
took me
to someone else's table.
They took me off the table and reprimanded me, saying, "Don't you ever talk to a customer or like that again." I felt like the blood drain out of my.
What
body.
Was he trying to make her a better player? Possibly.
No, he was just abusive. Drew.
Yeah, true. That's
he was.
Sure.
I am telling you, it made the other people on the table really uncomfortable.
And what was her side? What was his side of the story?
His side is not. He's a drunk asshole.
You sure she didn't do something before you got, they got to the table he was upset about?
I don't know, Drew, but that's still, you don't do it in public.
That's really funny. They
don't do it in public.
It's really funny they tell you, don't, you know, it's not, you stay out of it. Don't hurt that customer. But what about everybody other, every other customer at the table, including her, were really uncomfortable by it. But
they don't care.
He's the one betting 500 a hand.
Let me tell you something. I've seen worse. I was at a casino. I won't even say
I don't belong there. That's what I'm. That's the long, moral of the story.
I was in one of our local casinos, and a black dealer was dealing to a table of, let's see, I think it was probably three white people and a couple of Hispanics. No. They were Middle Eastern, Middle Eastern guys. Who were betting a ton of money and were winning like crazy. Anyway,
was it blackjack or baccarat? What was
blackjack.
It?
Blackjack. And this one white guy at the end of the table, he's playing third base, the last guy before the dealer. Yeah. He was
That's
losing,
where I like to sit, by the way.
Was losing his ass. Oh my God, was he losing? He was getting so pissed. He was starting to pick up the cards and like throw them towards the dealer and stuff.
What?
Called the dealer the N word.
What?
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah. And the dealer told him to cut it out, and the dealer went and got the pit boss, and the pit boss, who was watching, basically told him to just go ahead, go on, just play. The guy was betting a lot of money, and he was losing big.
See?
Then he was losing thousands of bucks, and they basically, even though this guy used the N-word, they just told the dealer to keep playing.
That's
just
it. They don't give a damn
the money
about anyone
in.
Except the money.
Nope.
They don't care.
It was clear to me. I was shocked. I could not believe they did not throw this guy out on his ass.
Nope. Wow. As long as they're pouring money down. And I saw the same people... Day in, day out. I had people falling asleep at the table.
Mike Clark did that once when he was winning a lot of money.
He's like killing it.
The woman is like laying on her hand betting. She don't even know what she's doing. I'm like, how long you been here?
Yeah.
I've been here since like 3 a.m.
We've
and
it
was
seen
like,
that.
And I did the afternoon shift. I did the afternoon shift. She was there 12 hours.
I could do that. I've gambled straight paycheck. More than 12 hours.
Yeah, but she was losing her ass.
Well, then she had to win it back.
Yeah.
But I'd see her the next day.
Well, she had to win it back what she lost trying to win it back.
I'm a gambling guy. It killed me to see these people losing their
ass. That's really sad.
It really did.
Well, maybe they can afford it.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, probably she made a lot of money.
I'm sure she did.
Yeah. That's why she wouldn't bet it if she didn't have it.
Tom Mazzaway, dealer with a heart.
I despise the smoke. Now look, if I would get one non-smoker on the table like early, I was like, hey, you want to make this a non-smoking table? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I need a non-smoking sign because if you put the sign up, that'll chase the smokers away.
Oh, of course.
But the minute it starts getting slow and the smokers are looking for room, they're like, pull that damn tent.
Even in a vice-filled world, Tom has to eliminate another vice.
I try.
Only one vice at a time.
Which casino was this?
MGM.
Here locally?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you worked here locally.
Yeah.
No way.
Yep.
Wow, between radio jobs?
Yep, I wore the brown suit and all. Brown vest, brown pants.
Now, how much of that job, the pay is tips?
Most of it.
Most of it?
Most of it.
So they pay you like $5 an hour or something?
Yeah. And then at the end, some weeks I would make like 30 an hour. But that's not a hell of a lot.
What would be like the yearly, like your W-2 at the end of the year, what would it approximately be?
I think somebody...
If you listed every tip you received.
Oh, God. Phew.
I mean, 100 grand?
If you listed every tip?
Well, who lists all their tips?
I think beginner dealers are going to make like 50 grand. But the guys that are playing the crap tables and all of that kind of jazz, they're going to make a little bit more. The problem is they pool all the tips. So if Jay's over there on his table and he's not really talking to the people, he's not getting tipped... I'm over here having a good time.
Come on.
I'm bringing in all the money. I'm cranking that up. Jay, pick up your damn game.
Get with it, Jay.
Pick up your game.
Jay, you're being an anchor. Costing everybody money. Come on.
He gets some of my tips, the son of a bitch.
Hey, what do they pull him by? Do they pull it by shift?
Yeah, they pull it by shift.
Like, what's how long is the
shift?
Eight hours?
I'd go in at 12 and be done at 8.
Okay.
And then here's the kicker. When you get your break, you have to go up to the break room. And they had a phenomenal.
What do you do right before the break, though? You have to go.
Yep. I'll be back. And you check out, and you got to sprint because you have 15 minutes to sit down, eat, maybe take 20 minutes. Some guys close their eyes. Some guys eat. They have food for you. They got a great deal for the dealers up there. It's like an oasis up there.
How many breaks do you get?
You get quite a few.
Yeah.
As sympathetic as I am.
But it's quick as hell, and you cannot be not a minute late.
Okay, what about
back down on the floor?
Why does it always seem that when the table is red hot,
break!
Smoking hot, all of a sudden?
That's a fact.
Thank you for your time. I'll be back.
That's a fact. That's
who decides
that? They bring the cooler in. They bring the cooler in.
Who's the cooler?
The cooler is whoever's dealing hot that day.
Alec Baldwin.
They bring in.
So they actually keep track of who's hot?
Yes.
If your customers are just killing you for 2 days, won't you take a couple days off?
I haven't heard that. I wasn't there long enough to really know the...
Was anybody a consistent loser as a dealer?
I couldn't tell you. Honestly, I couldn't. But I learned all the blackjack games, and if I had stayed longer, I would have definitely asked to learn craps because that's my favorite game. I would have went over craps and done craps.
So the craps guys make the most money?
I think so. Yeah, baccarat is really big bucks, but that you have to go to the special room.
Baccarat is such a stupid game.
But it's a simple game, and an idiot could play it. It's 50,
it's boring.
It's 51-49 are the odds. It's the best odds in the casino. The best
odds. What about the Wheel of Fortune game?
Wheel of Fortune's horrible.
I know.
I used to love it.
I still like playing it.
Yep, I loved it. I always bet the Joker.
What about Casino War?
Casino War. I made back a lot of money playing War. I played War. Get this. I was drunk off my ass, and I was losing my ass in Vegas. I played War for 6 straight hours.
Oh, my God.
I did.
It's the fastest game in the world.
Yeah, you win your money back in a hurry.
That's good.
Or lose it.
Well, I was winning, so I was happy.
How about the
did
other
you surrender?
Game?
Yeah, I surrendered. I was surrendering some.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah.
Surrender on a war?
Yeah.
How about a guess the number game that Chevy Chase played on Vegas Vacation? guess what number? Go ahead, Drew. I got a number in my head. Go ahead, guess it.
Oh, man.
Three. Give me a number. Three. Ah,
nope.
Two.
Phelan's fired up?
Yes, sir, he is.
Mr. Moonsong is standing by.
Shadow.
Did he pick a song, Jay?
Moonshadow.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Moonshadow's a good choice. You can load Moonshadow for us? I think Phelan needs some kind of special introduction. I mean, this is got to be the most fascinating license photo I've ever seen.
What other moon songs are there?
Let's see.
Fly me to the...
You guys looking at my photo right now?
We already did. It's very...
You can't talk until we have
cool.
your song ready, Phelan. Sorry.
Okay.
We have to be proper. Is there a song you'd
prefer
to
What about Pink Floyd? Doesn't Pink Floyd have a moon song?
Well, Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of the Moon.
I love Pink Floyd. Dark Side of the Moon would be great.
Dark Side of the Moon Shadow.
Moon Shadow will work. Phelan had a license photo. He had just like we all do. And then at some point, due to his religious beliefs, he wanted to go back to the state of Rhode Island and get the photo retaken. Which was Rhode Island?
No, that was
Maine. Yeah. And get the photo retaken with the horns on. And there he is with those horns. First of all, Phelan, thanks for your time today. Glad we got a chance to talk to you about this.
Thank you.
And are these horns attached permanently? Or we were just trying to figure out how they stay on your head.
No, they're not attached permanently. They're not implanted. I made them into a headset. And what you don't see is I got like about 50-pound transparent fish line that I use. That goes through two holes at the bottom of the horn, and then I pull it and stretch it back to the back of my head after I put my hair up and put my hair over it, and it basically virtually makes the line look invisible and makes them look attached and holds them nice and tight.
Wow.
And why is it so important? Like, what God or what do you worship that you need the horns for?
Well, I worship the horn deity in paganism. I follow his incarnation as Pan, the great god Pan, and the goddess Gaia, and I wear those as my horns of Pan. I've been wearing horns since about 2007 when I was first initiated into a coven in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hey. It was a coven that Pan and Gaia was the deity of, and those are still the two deities that I follow.
Phelan, I don't want to go back to the horns for a second. How hard is it to attach them and unattach them? I mean, do you take them on and off every day, or do you leave them on for a week at a time, or how does that work?
I can put them on and off at will. They're very easy to put on and off. I usually don't go out anywhere in public without them. I don't wear them 100% of the time when I'm in the house. Obviously, it would be hard to kind of sleep in them. And I do wear them most of the day, but I don't wear them all the time when I'm inside the house, but mostly when I'm out in public, I almost never go out without them, especially the last few years.
And what's your current job, occupation?
I'm currently retired. I don't work. I used to be an IT technician. If you looked at my Facebook page, you'll see that I have a kind of an extensive resume in
server
network field.
No, you got a lot of computer gigs and stuff.
And I did not wear my horns at work.
You didn't? Why not?
I wasn't even allowed to wear tattoos in any visible areas, mostly because I worked in the corporate field and areas and whatever. And
wait, but when it's for your religious beliefs, isn't that, couldn't you have fought that?
I could have, and I guess at that point in time in my life and my religious convictions, I guess I really didn't push back on that. That was kind of in my early part of the years.
Did you wear the horns to work, were you then told not to wear them to work, or did you just never even attempt to wear them?
I have worn them to work a couple times, and I had a few kind of not really nice talks about that. And I've actually worn them with my robe actually before, my cloak. During a full moon.
What do you wear underneath the cloak? Like, do you just wear like sweatpants and a t-shirt? Because the cloak looks really formal, but it can cover up everything underneath, kind of like a robe.
It's fairly warm. It's kind of like wearing a light jacket or a light coat, actually.
Yeah.
Because where it comes down and covers you, it actually helps hold your body heat in and on the whole length. Yeah.
So instead of wearing an uncomfortable suit, though, you can just like kick it in mesh shorts and a tank top, but you got this fancy cloak over it. It's a good idea.
I don't want to see this cloak. Is there a picture online with you in the cloak?
There's probably a number of pictures of me online wearing the cloak.
The other cool thing, too, about a cloak is if you're in an argument and you want to leave the room, you go, ta-ta, and you whip the cloak around and you basically just disappear. Have you ever got to do that, Phelan?
No, I've never thought about doing that.
Oh.
Give it some thought. That does sound cool.
Doesn't it? Just disappear behind a giant cloak sweep.
Hey, tell us about this god you worship. You said Pan?
Yes, the great god Pan. He's an old deity. He's mostly known for when he joined the old classical Greek pantheon, the Olympian gods and everything. Although he does predate the Olympian gods by quite some time, and I more or less follow him under his older aspect as more of the nature deity, the male version of the Mother Earth, as you would per se. He has a lot of strong attributes, and I've just felt very, very drawn to his aspect.
Like every god can have some bummer aspects, or every religion can have some bummer aspects to it. Like, what do you have to do to hear to Pan or that really bums you out? That you're like, all right, well, I guess it's part of the religion, so everything else is okay.
To be honest with you, really nothing. Pan, one thing most. Paganism isn't like a lot of the dogmatic, some of the dogmatic religions, such as the Abrahamic religions, which include Christianity, Muslim, and Judaism, and some of the more structured ones that kind of follow a book. They usually have a dark and a light deity to balance each other and everything. Pan is a very nature-oriented deity, kind of very raw.
Nature can kind of suck sometimes, right?
Well, that's just the natural fact of the world and the universe.
Mark, if he digs a guy, he's totally in.
There's no admonitions from him that says, I can't do this and I can't do that.
Hey, Phelan, why horns and not say like a sweet rack of antlers?
I do have a friend who wears a nice sweet rack of antlers.
Oh.
And I have a few friends that wear a couple other types of horns also. The antlers usually denote Canunus or another version of the horn deity, the horn god that's known throughout history and everything.
Hey, this is really a little off the subject, and I'm not trying to be offensive at all here, but I'm just wondering, as far as the horns go, do they help you in terms of with chicks? I mean, do chicks think that's cool, or maybe a niche thing, or is it a turnoff for women?
Be honest with you, I've never really noticed much different one way or the other. I will say that, especially when I'm attending pagan festivals and I'm at some events and whatever, I do tend to get a little bit more attention and get asked to be taken, have pictures taken with and of a lot and whatever. I don't complain about that.
So there's more, not necessarily an attraction, but women do come into your world due to the horns.
It's definitely an icebreaker.
Into contact. Yeah, an icebreaker, exactly.
Yes.
So a hot chick comes up and goes, what's up with these horns? And the next thing you know, you're selling her and making out with her.
He's got to tell her he's into paganism anyway.
Yeah.
Which might freak some chicks out.
Important to him.
Because Phelan, do you find that people, you know, when you say, you're into paganism or they ask about the horns, and you have to get into the whole thing, that people immediately think you're this devil-worshipping freak?
Yes, actually, and that's one of the reasons I actually kind of like wearing my horn. They get people to stop and ask. No, they actually get people to stop and ask me questions, and it gives me an opportunity to actually educate instead of more or less having them keep these blind assumptions. Us in paganism, we don't even believe in the devil. It's not even part of our theology at all. The devil's not part of our pantheon. That's actually a Christian, Abrahamic creation and in their religion. So, no, we don't believe in the devil. And we don't believe, it's just not part of our belief system. Can't explain that.
Was there a higher being in there? You lost me a little bit when you were explaining the whole deal. Is there a higher power of some kind?
I believe there is a higher power, yes, I do. Or else, obviously, I wouldn't be, worse than a god. But as I was explaining in regards to the devil, it's just not part of our belief system in paganism. The devil's not any part of any one of the deities in paganism that we worship. That's a Christian, Abrahamic creation.
Phil, have you ever been fired up on a good, nice, sunny day, and you go out, you can get your horns on? It's such a great day to wear horns. The weather's nice, sun's out. And then maybe you're out in the sun a little too long, and you go home, you take the horns off, and oh, my God, you've got that spot, that completely untanned portion where the horns are not, and it looks kind of weird the next day when you go out there and people want to...
I have.
Yeah.
I have, actually.
Is that kind of a wrinkle, a little bit of a problem?
No, not really. It just shows me a spot where to put them back on the next day.
Okay. Well, it's just, you know, when you wear horns, there's issues I think a lot of people probably don't think about. But you seem to pretty well roll with it. And as far as getting the state of Maine to go along with the horns, I have to believe that was a huge legal fight. Or was it more simple than I think?
Well, I was actually expecting it to be a legal fight. And I was actually kind of, in a way, starting to gear up for it. Because when I went in to get my, it was like August 16th, when I went in to get my photo ID taken and my name change done in Bangor, Maine. And everything started out normally. I took my number. It was called. I went up, provided all my documentation, paid my fee to get my name changed. And I was told to wait for the call.
Well, you just went in there like any Tom, Dick, or Harry. You didn't have prearranged. You didn't have any kind of arrangement. You just went in there expecting to get the horns in the picture.
Yeah.
Well, why should I not have?
Exactly.
Actually.
I don't know. So, I would just expect somebody behind the counter might be a little taken aback by it and might at least need a supervisor to get involved.
I've been wearing my horns for years, and to be honest with you, I really don't put a whole lot of thought into that they're actually on my head at times.
Well, then, Phelan,
I put them on in the morning during the day, and I wear them.
Why don't you just make them permanent?
I've actually thought about that in the past, but I don't know.
No pussy out. Go make those things permanent, man.
Just haven't done that.
Yeah, it could be done.
I thought about that, and I use real goat horns. My goat horns are real goat horns. It wouldn't be so easy to make them into the implants. There's a lot of care that's taken just to keep the real natural sheath that comes on the bone of the horn, keep that fresh and done and everything. And it wouldn't be so easy to add something to them to make them permanent implants.
Would it be hard to, like, put on a T-shirt with those things on, or are you so used to wearing them? I mean, functionally, do they ever get in the way?
I bumped them and knocked them around a few times, taking your shirt on and off. But
how do you ride a bike?
I pretty much got it done.
How do you ride a bike with your horns on?
Ride
you
got to
put a helmet on.
Oh, I thought about it. I never wear a helmet.
No, I know. Do you ever wear a bike?
I usually don't wear a helmet when I ride a bike either.
The helmets are for pussies, Mark.
What about if you play football and you have to wear a helmet? How are you gonna? No, football. It's stupid.
I don't play football.
Stupid.
You don't play tackle football?
I don't play tackle
just football.
Shocked.
What else would you wear a helmet? What if you're on a construction site and you need to wear a hard hat, a part of OSHA regulations?
I became an IT technician because I didn't like construction sites. I did that type of work.
Well, what if the only IT jobs available is on an active construction site and they say, Phelan, you have to wear a hard hat, OSHA standards.
But there have been
got to poke holes in it.
And you're like, I just got these permanent horns.
Yeah, there have been circumstances where I have had to take my horns off and wear headwear, though. So.
Ouch!
What about, you know, like wearing a baseball hat? I would think you could make holes in the hat to suit the horns.
That would look ridiculous.
I don't know. If it was properly embroidered, it could look nice.
Yeah. Hats do pose a challenge to me, and I traditionally usually don't wear them. A knit cap's not that bad, so I can kind of pull over my head and kind of tuck them up behind the horn.
Yeah,
what about just driving the car? Don't the horns hit the top of the car?
Actually, no. They're really, you got enough headroom there for a fairly tall people court. And I'm kind of a fairly short person. I'm only like 5'7". I'm not very tall.
Oh. Is that one of the things you like about the horns? Because you can say, hey, I'm 6'2" with the horns.
I never thought of it that way.
Well, you can.
I do have to duck. I do have to kind of duck my head
so
sometimes going intense. At festivals and stuff, sometimes I do got to kind of have, I've got in the habit of kind of ducking my head as I enter in.
Phelan, the picture there with the top hat, do you have the horns underneath the top hat? It looks like they might fit under there.
Actually, on that picture there, I think I was at the Witch's Ball in Cincinnati that you're talking about, and I went as the Mad Hatter, and I did not wear my horns that night.
Oh, you didn't? It looks like they would fit under there, though.
Possible solution? Actually, they did, because when I was with my girlfriend at the time and whatever, I jokingly did put my horns underneath the hat and took them on and off, but throughout the night, it was easier and better not to have them on with that hat on.
You did say girlfriend at the time. Is it possible, did this girl dump you over the horns?
No, she didn't.
She did.
She liked my horn.
Why'd you break up? If I can be, you know, can I ask that? Why'd you guys break up?
Just things changed. Just relationships for some time. We're still friends.
The paganism, the horns,
she wanted to have a kid, and you were like, no.
Nah, nothing along those lines.
What?
I said nothing along those lines.
Nothing along those lines.
They want to get married, and you said only if it's a pagan festival.
Nah, just as I said, things change. People move on. We just kind of changed.
That's the nice thing about the horns, though, is it causes all those issues to come to the forefront so early in the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've never had any issues in any relationship. And with my horns, I've had. So, that's all conjecture.
But you leave them on when you're doing it, right?
Well, I'll let you guys picture that or not.
No, I don't want a picture. Just say yes. How many?
Just wants us to picture him having sex.
What if there's this really hot chick and she's like, "I will so let you plow me, but you've got to take those horns off." Would you? What do you choose? Your horns or this chick?
Oh, come on.
She's
Mark.
Really
into.
She's
of course.
She's really into paganism too. Just not your horns.
Well, if she's into paganism, she'll want the power of Pan, believe me.
No, but she doesn't like the horns for functionality.
She doesn't want
you going down on her with those stupid horns on.
What if when he has sex, he has some kind of special horns that are, you know, sort of phallic or...
gross, Drew.
That happens
at bachelor parties. It's usually one horn right in the middle of the forehead.
I've seen one. I've never seen two before, but I don't know. Because again, these are ideas.
What do you think, Phelan?
The horns are seen as a form of masculinity and sexual power.
Yeah, but they're not permanent. So have you ever gone down on a chick and she like grabs onto him in ecstasy and then pulls him off?
Oh, that shoe be dumped so fast.
Or is that what happened
comment.
With the last girl?
No comment.
No comment. Yeah, you're Phelan. Talking about it.
Phelan, what about the first Thanksgiving when you showed up with the family and you got, you know, the aunts, the uncles, maybe... you know, some older people along with some younger people, people of all ages, and there's Phelan finally wearing his horns publicly at a family gathering. Was that any issues in regards to that?
It may have raised a few eyebrows with a couple, but I come from a very large family. I'm like the oldest of eight, and my mother comes from a family of nine. Between me and my... other siblings and whatever. My mother's got like over 30-something grandchildren and 20-something great-grandchildren. Jeez. So I got a huge family, and there's a lot of uniqueness and differences in our families, and we just kind of more or less accept each other as we are.
So how many wear horns beside you?
Only me. My family.
Just you.
Believe it or not, I was raised Roman Catholic.
Jay says, that's one horny family. All those kids. Oh! Phelan, come on. No joke support on that?
I'm Phelan.
Jay's crying over here.
Well, I come from Maine. It gets cold up here in the winter.
What? All right. Well, Phelan, now, as far as the battle is over, you've got the picture taken with the horns. Is there anything? What's next for Phelan Moonsong?
Well, that was actually one of my final goals in the transition I was going for, because I got my name changed now. I've been using Phelan Moonsong publicly as my name since about 2008. And anybody except for family and anybody at work or in legal circles basically didn't know what my legal name was.
What was your previous name, if you don't mind my asking?
It was Gerald Tucker.
Gerald Tucker.
Gerald, yes.
That's boring.
Gerald Tucker. Well, you know, Phelan Moonsong?
When you're born, you don't get to choose your name.
No, I know. Thank God you're exciting Phelan Moon song now.
Now these or pictures, Moon. You have so many pictures online, Phelan. Are these all of you as Phelan Moon song, or do we have any Gerald Tucker pictures online as well?
Those are basically all me as Phelan Moon song. That's pretty much, ever since I've been on Facebook, I've been Phelan Moon song. That's what I registered up. Actually, I was kind of afraid that before my legal name changed, that Facebook might shut my account down, and it's been old.
Do you how often do you put a new photo of yourself online? Because you've got so many different costumes, and I don't know if these are all for various religious celebrations or events or what, but you put a lot of pictures up there.
Probably at different events and festivals, and I like going. I like doing a lot of outdoors, a lot of woods and kayaking, and just like being in the outdoors.
You're pretty pleased with your appearance, though, apparently, just judging from how many pictures there are. And a lot with your shirt off, too.
I'm not ashamed of myself. Why should anybody be ashamed of themselves?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you. I think you're kind of into your appearance, and that's good.
And your nipples.
Possibly.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
There are a lot of shirtless pictures, no doubt. There's a lot of some sleeveless photos, too.
Well, I'm of the mind that the less clothes you wear, the more comfortable it is.
Yeah, I mean you're not like a borderline nudist or anything, are you?
I'm not a nudist, but some of the events and festivals I go to can be clothing optional. I have no problem with that.
No, is that related to the pagan religion or just lifestyle?
Just kind of lifestyle. A lot of pagans are very comfortable with their bodies, and nudity and partial nudity is not a problem and not a big taboo.
What's the mask? Did you see the mask pictures? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You do sometimes wear a mask, like kind of Lone Ranger-esque?
I've got a couple different masks I wear, yeah.
Is that part of the pagan thing, or is that just Phelan being Phelan?
A little bit of both. I have a mask of Pan, and I have a special mask that was given to me as a gift, and it was custom-made that is a very nice little goat head mask, goat face mask.
All right, well, we'll have to get... You mind if we put a couple of your pictures up on our website here to go along with the interview?
Sure. Feel free to.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
No limit, right?
If they're public, then they're public in my profile. Okay. I really don't care. All
right. We'll get a couple of those up there. Stat. In the meantime, congratulations, I guess, on getting all this done. I know that the horned picture on the license photo is important to you, and it turned out not to be that big a fight after all.
No, it really wasn't. It really surprised me, as I was saying. I had my picture taken. I had my picture taken on August 16th, and I hadn't heard anything until November 28th, I think it was, the other Tuesday. I called the motor vehicle place trying to find out what was going on, because they asked me to send in a bunch of documentation on why I needed to feel like I should wear my horn as a religious thing, which, you know, I didn't feel like I probably should have needed to justify it, but I went ahead and I kind of more or less gave him an essay, and I sent him in a bunch of documentation on pagan traditions.
You got to remember the essay, so he just said, okay.
On pagan traditions and various different historical things, whatever. And I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know if they read them or not.
They didn't.
Let this guy take the picture.
But anyways, when I called up that other Tuesday to find out what was going on, because I hadn't had my ID yet and hadn't heard from him, I was put on hold a little bit, and I was told that it was rejected, and I would have to get a new picture taken because of my horn. And that's when I asked if I could speak to somebody about that, because, one, I hadn't heard anything, and I'd provided everything they wanted. She put me on hold again and said they would call me back, and that never happened.
That's just the DMV.
The guy who made the decision was crashed from trying to read the essay.
It's just the DMV anyway.
Typical government.
I don't think they're in a big hurry.
Typical government.
This guy
anyway,
horns will just wait forever.
That had nothing to do with the paganism. That was just, basic government.
When I was in Portland there, the other Tuesday, I decided, since I lived 3 hours away from any really big metropolitan area and an hour away from the nearest city. So while I was in Portland, I was in an area with a bunch of services, so I took advantage. I stopped by the MCLU, which is the Maine Civil Liberties Union, to fill out an application in case I might need them as backup. And we had an application from the Maine Human Rights Commission sent to me. And then I went up to the motor vehicle place, and I re-asked them about, you know, where I could talk, had a chance to talk.
Did you drop the the four big letters ACLU?
I love that story. I
dropped my phone.
Did you mention the ACLU when you went back?
Yeah, I knocked my phone out of my hand.
Oh, uh-oh. Did your horns cause that?
No, but anyway, yes, I did. I said,
you did. That might have been
huge. I did drop the MCLU line. I said, I talked to them, and I said, I don't really see what the really delay is.
And they just said, oh, fuck it. Between the SA and the ACLU, no way.
Yeah, because not having a legal ID. Does the story have an end?
No,
difficult.
It doesn't. Cool.
Yeah, so anyway, it all worked out, and you are one happy Phelan Moon song. And like I said, we'll get some pictures up on these next to the story. And we appreciate your time joining us on the podcast tonight, Phelan.
Yeah, thank you very much. I look forward to it. And hopefully it makes it easier for anybody else to decide rather paganism or whatever religious headwear they are.
Yeah, no kidding. There's a lot of people who had a hard time with this, but you really breezed through there. I think writing an essay is... That should be advice, mandatory advice to anyone wanting to do this. Writing a huge, long essay. Maybe even referring to it as a, what's
I shouldn't have had to justify it in the first place. That's the point, but.
What did Ted Kaczynski have?
A manifesto.
Yeah, maybe call it a manifesto, too, and then it'll go even faster. But, Phelan, thanks again. Thanks a million.
Thanks a lot. You guys have been kind of fun to talk to.
Cool. Just kind of fun?
You're not hurting anybody, so who cares?
You've been a lot of fun.
So. Oh, cool. All right. I'm glad you enjoyed the interview. We did, too.
Hey, how's the weather up here? We're getting a bunch of snow.
Oh, goodbye.
We, 8 inches of snow, but...
you don't really care, do you, Phelan? You're just being nice.
No, don't really care.
I didn't think so. Goodbye.
Right, thanks, Phelan.
Take care, brother.
Have a good one. Enjoy the horns.
Yeah, bye.
All right, Phelan, moon song.
Bye-bye.